It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Balvano's fight against cancer.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Flighting Irish. With BK at LSU, things go from bad to worse for ND last night. We'll explain. Then, the heat is on Zeke, and it's coming from the most important place. A day before a game, the Cowboys absolutely have to win. Plus, Mike Tomlin says the last thing you were expecting to hear about severe criticism of his team. You'll hear it as we get up with you starting right now. Oh, we're chained. I mean, we're overrun on this Wednesday and ready to go. Kmart's got stories galore. Dominique is going to yell at her about something we don't yet know what. And look at the rest of the crew we put together today. Heather Dinich is in an airport hotel someplace right now. She's not even sure where. Paul Feinbaum's ready to go. Booger and Tim Hasselbeck already with tons of football in the hopper. But we begin with the game of the night. It's the two best teams in the NBA going head-to-head last night in Phoenix. Steph Curry, the MVP of the league so far. Nice shorts. Take it on Devin Booker and the Red Hot Suns. Pick it up second quarter. Bad moment, Phoenix. Devin Booker, keep an eye. He's got a hamstring. He would go out. He would not return. We're waiting on an update to see how bad it is. Meanwhile, speaking of bad, late first half, Steph Curry, always blocked by DeAndre Ayton. Steph just 3 of 14 in the first half. Let's go to the fourth quarter. Suns up one. Chris Paul attacking. Little pull-up jumper. Yes, he had 15. Suns go back up 3. 4.5 to play. The Suns lead is 1. Paul. Crowder. Corner 3. He's got it. He had 14 last night. Phoenix by 3. Booker loves it. Next Phoenix possession. Paul again. Crowder again. Suns by 6. On the other end. Draymond. Get it to Steph. You know, that's the difference, but this was not the night for it. Steph Curry finishes with just 12 points. 4 of 21 from the floor. Other end, Phoenix looking to put it away. 3 minutes to go, up by 5. Paul in the lane. Yes, Phoenix with the win. They were perfect in November. Suns take it 104-96, 17 straight wins for Phoenix. Meanwhile, Steph, one of the worst shooting nights of his career. In 329 career games in which he took at least 20 shots, it was the first time he shot under 20%. His 12 points were also his second fewest in those games. I've been saying it for weeks. Phoenix is the best team in the NBA. All right, on we go then to the college football playoff rankings. They are out. There was no surprise at the top. Georgia, still number one, as it has been in every ranking this season. That doesn't figure to change on Sunday. Meanwhile, Michigan, off that huge win, moves up 3 spots to number 2 after taking out Ohio State. Wolverines have never made the playoff. They're clearly in the driver's seat to get there. Holding steady at 3, Alabama. The Tide might need to upset Georgia to make the playoff for the 7th time in 8 years, although that doesn't seem likely. They'll get in if they do win. And then the 4th is undefeated Cincinnati. The Bearcats have an 87% chance to make the playoff with a win Saturday over Houston, 1% with a loss. Oklahoma State and Notre Dame are the first two currently out. But in 5 of the previous 7 years of this playoff, a team outside the top 4 entered the final rankings and went on to make the playoffs. So let's dive into all of this. A lot to unpack here. Heather, Paul, and Booger are ready to go. And Heather, let's start with you. I was watching the special last night, and I saw what the committee chair said about the impact that the departure of Brian Kelly will have on Notre Dame's chances on Sunday. Share that with the audience.
Selection Committee Chair Gary Barta said that after all of the conference championship games are done, that's when the committee can consider if a head coaching situation will have an impact on a team in the postseason. And I have to point out that that's one of several tiebreakers to help the committee distinguish teams that are comparable. The question is, will 11-1 Notre Dame be comparable? Because as you saw Wisconsin drop out of the top 25 last night, that means as we sit here today, Notre Dame has no wins against CFP top 25 teams and no conference championship game, obviously, because they're an independent. So will they even need to resort to those tiebreakers in their discussions on Saturday?
That's a reasonable point. So, Paul, it feels to me like we're having two conversations simultaneously. One of them is about Notre Dame's worthiness based on their season. Let's put that to the side. The other is about whether it is fair for this collection of student athletes to have their fate in part decided by the fact that their coach decided to take a $95 million contract someplace else before the selection committee meets on Sunday. Is that fair?
Greeny, it's all about the kids. You know that. No, it's really not fair because that's what this is all about. It's about trying to have a great season and get to the playoffs. But I don't think it's going to matter. And the reason it's not going to matter is that Notre Dame sitting at home on Saturday, they need to be in a conference, Greeny. It's an old conversation, and we'll have it another day. But they're hurting themselves. If for some reason Notre Dame could get out from under its own arrogance and join the ACC in football, which it plays basketball and all the other sports, it would be playing Saturday night in Charlotte. It would win the ACC championship, and it would be probably a lock to get into the playoffs. But they did it to themselves.
Here's the only thing I'll say, though, Paul, if I may push back a little. If Alabama loses, sure, and either Cincinnati or Oklahoma State lose, both of which are realistic possibilities, the door does open then for Notre Dame to get in. Does Heather, if those scenarios come true, which are very real possibilities, does Notre Dame walk in that door despite the departure of their coach?
They have an excellent chance too, and I think the points that you made, Greeny, are going to be something that selection committee is going to wrestle with internally. I mean, there are Hall of Fame coaches in there. There are people who know what it takes and how difficult it is to get to that situation and about the student athletes involved in that. And that is a very real possibility and point of the conversation. And like you mentioned, Paul, yes, it does hurt them on some occasions, but it could also help them because they don't have to worry about losing, whereas other teams can be eliminated because of their conference championship game. So it just depends on which side of the coin that turns out.
All right, Booger, let me bring you in here as the player, and let's go on the field. Georgia-Alabama is a monster game. There have not been too many times we've said Alabama needs to win to get in. Georgia's a pretty heavy favorite here. Do you see a path? Can you see them beating Georgia Saturday night?
Yeah, Greeny, I could see them beating Georgia. It's highly unlikely. Georgia's got the best defense the sport has seen in probably the last decade. I mean, they got 10 or 11 pros on that side of the football. So Alabama's offense, which has really been inept the last couple of weeks, is going to have to be at its best. Can it happen? Sure, because Bryce Young, I think, is the best quarterback in college football. He's going to have what I would call, Greeny, a Heisman-type moment. Like, we've been waiting for Bryce Young to have that Heisman moment where you go, wow, there's your Heisman Trophy winner. Now, he could do that, but it's really unlikely. Alabama gets a lot of credit because of who they are and because of Nick Saban, but I think this is possibly Nick's worst team. And I think Kirby, to use an old line that Tom Jackson would always say, if not now, when? Kirby's got the best defense that he's ever had, and we know that Kirby's a defensive coach. If you can't beat Alabama now, when are you going to beat them? So I think Georgia feels really, really good about the situation they're in Saturday.
Is he going to get them? What do you think, Paul? No one is closer to this than you are. Is Nick going to find a way to pull this thing out?
Right now, I would say no. And everything Booger laid out is true. Nick Saban better pull a Houdini act because this is his worst position I have seen him in since his first season at Alabama when he has just been on a roll. There's a slim window. A lot of people wonder about the psyche of this Georgia team, saying they haven't played a tough game. They've blown this opportunity. But to me, Greeny, this is a different Georgia team. They've been through the wars. These guys are veterans. They're seniors. They know what it's like to lose to Alabama. And I've seen nothing, not one iota of evidence to support the theory that they're going to blow this game.
All right, then one more super quickly, Heather. I just have a second here. History can be made if Cincinnati gets in. No team outside the Power Five has done it. Is it as simple as win and they're in? Is there a scenario that you see where Cincinnati wins and they get left out?
Yes, because this is a subjective system which nobody can entirely predict. And if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, then it's a conversation as long as there are two SEC teams still in the top four. Because if Georgia can eliminate Alabama, Cincinnati and Oklahoma State can get in together. If not, and it's a debate, they have to worry about two top 15, top 10 wins from the Cowboys to punctuate their resume.
Now, I can see Booger disagrees. We'll come back to this a little later because I'm on her side, but I'd like to argue this thing out. We will a little bit later, but let me get to some NFL here. Guys, sit tight. Paul and Heather, we'll come back to you. In the meantime, the Cowboys play a huge game tomorrow night against New Orleans, and the status of their star receiver, Amari Cooper, is very much in question. Amari Cooper tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago. He is still yet to practice. Meanwhile, yesterday in his radio interview, Jerry Jones gave an update on Zeke Elliott's status for tomorrow night.
He's practicing well, and we think he'll be ready to go. And it's, I understand you're asking, but the facts are that we expect him to have a serious load in, against New Orleans.
Okay, so we expect him to
have, there you go.
There you have it. From the person who would be in a position to know. So, Dominique, we tried to get into this yesterday, right, and we got a bunch of other stuff happened that took us away. Is this a must-win game? The calendar has turned to December. Right. Is tomorrow night a must-win for the Cowboys?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's an important game. They've been on a skid, and it hasn't been impressive up until this point. But everybody goes through lulls. There's no dominant team in the NFL so far this team, so far this year. I guess Green Bay is the closest we have to it, that we just know is just going to blow everyone out. So it's okay. They'll bounce back. Even if they lose this week, I think they'll be fine because they have, four more games against teams that are under 500? They're going to be all right. They don't have to win right now. I think the first round bye is probably out of their reach considering how good they're, how many other teams are in position to get it right now.
But you're just laying it out why it is a must-win game, because you just said there's no dominant team. Every team goes through a lull. Oh, that first round bye, yeah, that's probably out of the question. If they win games, this is the whole point of this season. It's sort of like this is a team that's built to make the playoffs, win the division, and potentially win the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
This, before their bye, they were 5-1.
So we don't, we just
before,
don't.
Here's the question. They were 5-1. Now what's their record? They're like 7-4. Okay. At some point you're saying, I think they'll be fine. Yes, I think they'll be fine too. But they have to win for us to continue thinking that this is a team poised to win.
It's fine. Words mean nothing.
Right. You know what?
Must doesn't mean must.
The point is that to have your lull when the calendar turns to December is not going to instill a great amount of confidence in anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they had their lull. If they lose now, they'll be fine. I understand the points that you guys are making. I agree with you that if they lose again, it's not going to look good. But they have four more games against teams that are in their division and teams that are frankly not that good. They have plenty of time to bounce back. They're not going to miss the playoffs. They're going to win their division. It's not. I mean,
the division is coming up fast behind them.
I get it, cousin Dak. I get it. But come on now.
Let me get Tim Hasselbeck in here for the first time this morning. Tim, what do you think? Cowboys, do they need this one tomorrow night?
No, I don't think they need it. I'm with Dominique on this. Oh, he said they have four games against upcoming opponents with an under 500 record. Guess what those opponents all are in the NFC East? They're division opponents, four of them. So they get to play New York, they get to play Philadelphia, and the Washington football team twice. None of those teams have a winning record. And so while, yeah, it would be great to get back on the winning side of things and look like you're trending in the right direction, but if we're talking about a must win, it's not even close to a must win. You just take care of your division, get healthy and start playing well in the postseason, then no one cares what you did the first week of December against a non-division opponent. So to me, I look at this with Dallas. I actually think they're positioned well. And by the way, facing a Saints team that is having their own issues. So, I'm not panicking whatsoever on Dallas.
Yeah, last Thursday they were facing a Raider team that was having issues. They faced a lot of teams with issues, and they find a way to lose a lot of these games somewhat surprisingly. Booger, what do you think? Dallas, right now.
Yeah, Greeny, I don't think this is a must-win, and I realize, K-Mart, everything you're saying is true as far as winning and kind of getting the confidence, but let's understand why they are where they are. It's because a lot of their guys are hurt, okay? DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, those guys are out. Tyron Smith has missed time. Amari Cooper has missed time. CeeDee Lamb has missed time. So let's understand why the Dallas Cowboys are having this lull. This is a players' league. I understand Cousin Dak is there, and everybody thinks that just because he's there, everything is going to be okay, but you got to have players around. And that team, once it gets whole, much like Tampa, when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are healthy, when the Dallas Cowboys are healthy, then we can truly judge them. Let's not judge them based on the sum of a few of their parts. Let's judge them on the total whole of their parts. Then I think they'll be good.
You can make that case. Every team's injured. You can make that case with the Ravens.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But at division games, they're different. You can't predict division games.
I think Kimberly and I just have higher expectations for them than the rest of you. It's just that simple. All right, we're rolling on. Coming up, speaking of high expectations, the Steelers are falling apart. Wait until you hear how Mike Tomlin is responding to intense criticism of his team. Shocked me. You're not going to believe it when you hear it. Plus, it has been Mac and Ease in New England of late. And one of Mac Jones' coaches said something yesterday that should scare the entire league. You will hear it as we roll on. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and our next stop is New England, home of the NFL's hottest team, where the Patriots have won 6 games in a row by a total of 148 points. Offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels was asked about Mac Jones, who continues to impress in his rookie season. Listen to what he said.
There's a lot to be happy with. And then there's definitely things to coach and correct. You know, I'm still waiting for the perfect game. Haven't had that yet. So we are seeing growth in his ability to process the opponent every week.
So he sounds like he thinks there's a lot of room for improvement with Mac Jones. Who's having one of the great rookie seasons that any quarterback has ever had. Let's start with some tape for folks who aren't watching it. Tim, show us what Mac Jones is doing so well.
Well, the word that keeps coming up when people talk about how he's playing so well is command. Total understanding of what they're trying to do offensively. Here's a good example last week. Jacoby Myers in the slot as they shift to empty, and he's saying, hey, Mac, if this guy comes, I'm hot, right? Mac Jones is like, no, let me reset this protection, okay? I reset the protection, you're not hot off of him. Jacoby Myers is like, wait, hold up, who am I hot off of? He's like, no, the secondary player, not the player you originally thought, and because of that, they're not hot. He can run his route. Ball comes to Myers on a 1st-and-10 play. They pick up a 1st down. Understand protection. Similar situation here. Corner goes over. They move Myers again. It's man coverage. They know that Tennessee is key blitzing when the tight end blocks. So here we go. Set up play. They alert to it. Jonnu Smith is going to block. Linebacker wants to add on. Now you out-leverage the defense. Ball in space to Jonnu Smith. Pick up a 1st down. You know, a lot of people have talked about, well, hey, Josh McDaniels doing such a great job, you know, hiding the quarterback, protecting the quarterback. It's not the case. They're running package plays. He's tremendous at the line of scrimmage, like Dak or like Aaron Rodgers, guys like that. And the truth is, it's been outstanding, and one of the reasons they're playing so well.
Now, Booger, you and I were sitting next to each other when he got drafted that night in Cleveland. Are you surprised at how good he's been this fast?
No, Greeny, not at all, because we all sat there and talked about that night, his ability to process information and get the ball out quick. He does all the little things that you want a quarterback to do, Greeny. And, you know, I was sitting next to Steve Young on Monday Night Countdown, and Tim, I want to see if you agree with this. He talked about Mac Jones' ability to process information and get the ball out very quick is second to none of the rookies, and maybe some of the veterans in the league. And I asked him, I said, Steve, what does processing mean? He simply said this: when there's total chaos going on around, when the play is about to snap, he's got 25 things going on in his mind, and he can filter those things out so fast and know what to do with the ball so fast, and his reaction time to the defense is special. That's the reason why he's successful. He knows where to go with the football. He's not panicking. His ability to know what defense is coming is faster, Greeny, than all of the rookies and some of the veterans. So, yes, he is only going to get better the more things that he sees. He is in a great organization. He is well coached by Josh McDaniels. So I am not surprised by what I'm seeing. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that other teams didn't see this. But you know what? We draft on measurables, not necessarily on our smarts. And that's the reason why he failed and he was the last quarterback taken in the first
round. That's fair. Let me leave that part of it there for a minute and come here, because the question is, right now, they beat Buffalo. There's going to be people talking Super Bowl. No rookie has ever taken a team to the Super Bowl as a quarterback. Can he?
Yeah, I think he can. I don't know that saying that the quarterback's going to take him implies some level of responsibility that I'm not sure that Matt carries, because he doesn't have to, which is the best way to be in this league, is to ask your quarterback to make a few plays here and there. And Mac is doing it. And the video that Tim showed was outstanding. I remember the last preseason game, seeing Mac process in the red zone was when I got my mind changed. It was like, yes, he's going to be the best rookie of this class in this situation. So, yes, they can make this run in large part because of Mac. But I think even more importantly, they have a running game and they have a defense that can slow teams down.
What have you been hearing around the league?
Well, so Booger, this comes as no surprise to Booger, right, but to personnel execs around the league, actually, they're surprised that Mac is performing as well as he is, because before the draft, everybody said processing, mental processing. He's the best in that, and that's why he's going to go high. But what we've seen is you knew he was going to be able to dissect a defense, but the fact that he isn't, you know, overcome by the moment, the right fact that he always knows the right place to go with the football, like he's outperforming and smarter than some of the veteran QBs in the league. And that's what's so impressive.
Go ahead, Bug.
You know, Greeny, I'm sure the guys can pull the tape. When they decided to cut Cam August 31st, I was on Get Up. And I simply said that day that now that Mac Jones is a starting quarterback, the Buffalo Bills are on notice, because everybody around the sport just gave the AFC East to the Buffalo Bills. You can pull the tape. August 31st, I said the Bills are on notice, because you put Mac Jones with that coach, with all the weapons they got in the offseason, you can see it coming. So, no, this is not a surprise, man, when you get a smart quarterback who understands what to do with the football, Greeny, because playing that position is not about being 6'6 and running 4'5. Playing that position is about understanding great decision-making, taking care of the football, throwing the football with accuracy and timing, and he does that better than some veterans, Greeny.
And if you do that, then you don't have to have the cannon for an arm, because you're getting the ball there at the same time
exactly
that another guy would otherwise. I have to leave it there. We'll come back to all. We have so much to get to on all of this stuff. Coming up next, though, you need to hear from Mike Tomlin, because he said the last thing you were expecting to hear about severe criticism of his team. You will hear that coming up next. Plus, they get better with age. Brady, Rodgers, torching the league again. Which one of them has the better cast to take them where they want to go? We'll answer that question as we roll on. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up, and let's do something we'll call run or done with some. Hey, Tim Hasselbeck, Indianapolis Colts. Are they on a run or are they done?
Like, they're going to be on a run, and I understand tough loss this last weekend, but they do a lot of things well. They run the football well. They play good defense. And they actually protect the ball. You know, it's hard to get some of those Carson Wentz turnovers that have been bad out of your head. But the truth is, he's done a pretty good job protecting the football. Didn't think he got a whole lot of help this past weekend. I think he will going forward. And I see the Colts going on a run.
Yeah, and maybe quite literally with Jonathan Taylor running their way there. All right, Booger, Eagles, run or done?
I think they're done, Greeny, and I understand we've seen a lot of maturation from Jalen Hurts, but I haven't seen enough between him and the play calling that they have to think that they're going to be able to go on a run. I think if you look at the turnover performance against the Giants, it was a setback. Can they pick it back up? Sure, but I'm just not a believer right now.
And then, Nick, I turn to you. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? Run or done?
Sad to say, I think they're done. And as much respect as I have for Mike Tomlin, as much talent that they have on this team, the reason why I think they're done is because they've had these issues all year. And they've gotten away with having a quarterback whose arm is a little suspect and an offensive line that can't run the ball. They've gotten away with it. But none of that stuff is getting better as the year goes on. So I think that they're probably done, especially considering the issues they're having on the defensive side of the ball.
Now, I've been promising all morning long this soundbite for Mike Tomlin. So let's get this up here. So Ryan Clark was sitting in this very seat the other day, and he had extremely severe criticism of the Steelers and their physicality and their personality. So I want to play that for you and then play Mike Tomlin's response yesterday, which really surprised us.
But they're not my beloved Steelers anymore. Nobody's scared to play this team. There's absolutely no physicality. There's no energy defensively. There's no tone setters. This Pittsburgh defense ain't jack. And I ain't talking about Jack Lambert. I ain't talking about Jack Ham. I'm talking about Jack, and you know the rest of the word. Y'all ain't that.
Guys that have been here, guys that have been in that room, guys that understand the standards that we aspire to, they probably have a better understanding of that than anybody that's not in that room right now.
So that really, look at Boogers. I mean, that's a coach sort of saying, yeah, he's right. Yeah. Like, RC is right. Now, you had their game this weekend,
yes,
came out. What do you make of this? What'd you see?
I saw a whole lot of nothing from the Steelers. And what got me was heading into that game, talking to players, talking to coaches pregame, you would think Tomlin was fired up. Like, let me tell you what AFC North week is like for Tomlin. He goes into the room and he's like, all right, good morning. It's AFC North football. Man puts a photo of a fire on the screen because we're in the kitchen now, boys. It's getting hot in here. And he's got all that Omar Epps energy with him. And then his team comes out, and I don't know what that was because that was not the Steelers. The Steelers football, it's supposed to be bash your face in. It's supposed to be you go across the middle, we're going to knock you out. And what the Steelers are doing now is not that.
Yeah, I mean, losing their identity is something I think people have been talking about for the Steelers for a few years now.
Yeah.
And it's something that I bristled at because I would look at that defense and say, they look like they still have that physical identity. And people saying, well, they want to pass the ball. They want to put their nose down and run. It seemed evident. And I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment and make too much of this one game, but that game was ugly. And it's not a small game. It's a big
divisional game
against a divisional opponent that you normally kind of dominate. And to have you get blown out like that, yeah, losing them twice and have the second loss, like, that's a revenge game. And it got even worse. And so, yeah, it's a little shocking only because Mike Tomlin said what he said. Because Tomlin seems like generally the type of guy in that moment to yell at guys in the locker room, but come out in front of the media and be like, we got this, whatever. But no, whatever he's saying in the locker room, he felt like it was not resonating, so he had to go public with it and hopefully drive that point home.
There's one more piece of this I want to play as I get Booger and Tim in. So there's been a lot of talk about how do we get this thing right. I want you to hear a suggestion that Chase Claypool made about how they might want to get practice going a little bit, and then you will hear Mike Tomlin's response to that.
I think like maybe some music would help, but we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun. So I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion. But Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have. So,
well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
Shut your mouth. That's basically what he said. Shut up.
I mean, they're in trouble. There's no bad ideas right now. Claypool is out here spitballing, man. He's trying to figure this out.
More music and dancing at practice. Seems the opposite of what Ryan Clark was saying. Go ahead, Booger.
Well, in all fairness to Chase Claypool, he was asked a question, I'm sure, about whatever, and he gave an answer. But at the end, he said, Mike T is going to handle that better, but we're going to comment. So I'm just trying to give him just a little bit of an out there.
Sure.
As far as the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dominique, I agree with you. This has been going on for a couple of years. You are what you practice and you are what you emphasize. They've been a soft team physically on offense for the last two or three years. So that's now carried over to their defense. They tried to go out and rectify that, Greeny. As we're sitting up there at the draft, they're trying to draft offensive linemen because they knew their offensive line needed help. Well, guess what? You've practiced this way for a couple of years. You've emphasized or you had a lack of emphasis on the running game. So, yeah, they are soft. Their entire team is soft. And the only way you get that back is you got to practice, man. You can't live soft and fight tough. Okay, that's not how football works. You got to show up, and in the offseason, in training camp, you got to put those pads on, and you got to become physically tough. It's tough to get that back when you're going through walkthroughs and playing hip-hop and Jay-Z. That's not going to get it back.
No. That may help. Don't do that. Blame Jay-Z.
And I truly understand that,
that
the young guys... No. Well, but listen, playing music is not going to get you physically tough. It may get you hype, but that ain't going to make you hit nobody in the mouth. Yeah. Not
that's
at all.
True. No, because I listen to a lot of music and I've never hit anybody in the mouth in my entire life. Tim Hasselbeck, you got a big smile on your face. Jump in here. What do you think?
It's just, listen, I want to be late to the party of the Steelers being done, in large part because of the sound bites you just played from Mike Tomlin. I mean, it just... He's great. It's refreshing. It's most oftentimes completely accurate, and I love it. You know, that being said, I think what the guys and Kimberly have mentioned is all true. And, you know, they have not been a very physical football team. And, you know, the issue is we keep just looking at Ben, like Ben's the only issue. But, look, they're outside the top 20 in stopping the run. You know, with T.J. Watt out, they – really don't have much of an identity defensively. And so, you know, the things that I always thought would carry this football team, which were going to be really talented guys on defense that were playing extremely hard and keeping them in it and thought that they would get better at running the football, those things aren't happening. And so now what is Pittsburgh hanging its hat on? Certainly not, you know, music as you're warming up. So that ends up being the issue for me.
Yeah, they're just cute.
Jay-Z. Oh, boy.
They need to beat the Ravens this week to be in it. Let's keep that. No friendly fire on the program here today. Let's go on to another one. Let's talk about aging quarterbacks in entirely different circumstances. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. We start with Aaron. His toe remains one of the biggest concerns in Green Bay. Coming off a 36-28 win over the Rams, they're on a bye now. Rodgers making his regular appearance with Pat McAfee yesterday, talking about potential toe surgery. Here's what he said.
As compared this Monday to the last Monday, I definitely felt better. And same with this Tuesday to last Tuesday. So keep getting treatment. You know, we're hoping to avoid surgery, obviously, but the surgery would be such a minor one, it wouldn't be something that I'd have to miss time with. That's a prereq for any surgery that I have at this point. I'm not going to miss any time. So we'll kind of reassess early next week and make a decision. But it's not something where I could have surgery, you know, on a Monday or Tuesday and play on Sunday.
Did he shave and cut off all his hair? Or is it all just under the hat there? He definitely shaved. Anyway, Vegas does not seem to be too concerned about the toe. Right now, Rodgers, as you see, in a tie with Josh Allen for the second shortest odds to win MVP. They're both chasing Tom Brady, who is currently the favorite to win that award. And look, at the end of the day, what we are looking at, with all due respect to all the names on that screen, are two of the all-time great quarterbacks, Tom Brady at 44, Aaron Rodgers, who will be 38 tomorrow. And they look like they are right at the top for the chance to go to the Super Bowl. So here's the question I want to ask. Which one of them do you think has the team around him that gives him the better chance to make the run all the way to the Super Bowl this year? Is it Brady with his Bucks or Rodgers with his pack? Go.
I think it's Rodgers with the pack this year. The way that they've been able to run the ball and depend a lot on that running game and ask him to make fewer plays and then he makes outstanding plays is impressive. But the real story is how good this defense has been in recent weeks and consistently, even with injuries in the secondary. Quite possibly the best corner in the league, Jaire Alexander, has been out for several weeks and they're playing great defense. They're going to get him back. They're going to get their left tackle back, all-pro left tackle, Bakhtiari back. And this team gets better. They add Smith back to the defensive front. This team is going to get better, and they already are incredibly good the way that they're playing now.
Shockingly,
you disagree.
I disagree with Dominique. Shocking. The reason is because I watch these two teams. Like, I cover the NFC title game, and I watch Brady's Bucks beat the Packers, and the same team came back this year. Like, Brady, Thomas Edward. Like, honestly, I trust him more than anybody. Just because we've seen him do it, he's the GOAT. When you look at the roster, he's got two number ones. Like, Antonio Brown is coming back. He's got the best tight end in Gronk. Like, they have a good defense. They've had injuries. We talk all show about injuries and how teams aren't complete. Well, the Bucs have had to deal with injuries, especially in their secondary. So, I actually think the Bucs are better.
Tim Hasselbeck, who's got the better supporting cast, Brady or Rodgers?
I think it's Green Bay. I agree with a lot of what Dominique said about, you know, guys that they're going to be getting back. And then the other aspect of it is when you look at A.J. Dillon and what he has added to the football team, it's really been incredible. Whether it's been situationally being able to run the football, you know, short yardage, goal line situations, and then the fact that he's been anything but a liability in the passing game. You know, he's actually been outstanding, good in pass protection, good catching the football, and good run after the catch. Go back and look at this guy's combine numbers. He is a clone for Derrick Henry. Like, he's that big, that powerful, that explosive, and now you put him in an offense where it's not featured around him. So, look, I think that that element has made them a really, really difficult team to beat.
I'm Tim just saw your turtleneck this morning and was like, right. I'm going to go with
A.J. Dillon has become my favorite player in the whole league to watch. Booger, how about it? Which who's got the two legendary quarterbacks? Who's got the better group around and the better team to take him all the way?
Well, I think if we're talking about both teams being completely healthy, the Packers getting Jaire Alexander and Za'Darius Smith, the Buccaneers getting Antonio Brown, getting their entire secondary back, I would go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's amazing how we forget that we got on these programs, get up, first take all these different shows, and we were just giddy that the Bucs were bringing back all 22 starters. We were talking about can they win every game. I remember all those conversations, and now all of a sudden, we just forget that. When the Buccaneers get healthy, when their defensive secondary comes back whole, when A.B. and Gronk and everybody's there, when their offensive line is there, they still have the same team that went into Green Bay, and I get it. It was a different defensive coordinator, but they went into Green Bay, and they took Aaron Rodgers' lunch. I think they're ready for it. I think the Buccaneers understand that everybody's gunning for them. And they are just kind of laying in the weeds while we talk about Green Bay and Arizona and all these other teams. Look for the Bucs later this month and into January. When they get their team whole, they'll make a run. And I think they're still the team to beat in the NFC.
That's 2-2. I mean, and that gives you an indication of just how interesting this is going to be down this final stretch. Meanwhile, on the other end of the spectrum, as we continue, Seattle swan song. What is the best fit for Russell Wilson, assuming he does leave the Seahawks this offseason? We're talking about that and more. Let's get up on ESPN.
You're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
All right, here we go. I'm going to ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions of my man Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready to or not, he has to answer them. Here's the first one. What is the best destination for Russell Wilson next season?
This is an easy question. I think it's the Saints. They were on his list last summer, and also I think Sean Payton is underappreciated. I think Drew Brees obviously was a great talent, but Sean Payton is underappreciated for what he can do for the quarterbacks. They have a great offensive line, a lot of talent on defense. The one question is, if they get Russell, will they be able to find some more talent to surround him with? Because they don't have a great receiving core, considering Michael Thomas's injury situation. They do have Alvin Kamara, who is outstanding, so I think that the Saints would be a great spot for him to.
Is Michael Thomas ever going to return to what he was? He had the greatest season of all time, and we've basically not seen him since. Otherwise, I like the pick. Next, which of these two is more likely to win a championship at their next school, Lincoln Riley or Brian Kelly?
Yeah, I think it's Lincoln Riley. I understand how much talent there is in the state of Louisiana, but the SEC is tough. There's a lot of talent in the enormous state of California. Mm-hmm. And you look at the top 10 of college football teams, there's not a bunch of top 10 teams that are on the West Coast. If this team, which is a marquee franchise in a primetime city, if they can manage to keep the talent in California, and also Lincoln Riley's connections with Texas and Oklahoma, they can recruit those areas well. They'll be competitive and should cakewalk through the Pac-12 and then find their way in the playoffs.
Remember what Pete Carroll did there. I mean, you get the right guy in that program, a lot of special things can wind up happening. So you like them over LSU. That sound you heard was Booger just falling out of his chair. All right, one more. If you were ranking the NFL the way the committee ranks college, give me your top four right now.
I think I go Packers, Patriots, Cardinals, Bucks. So I really like the Packers, the way that they've been playing. And it's not necessarily who are the best teams, but I do think the Packers are the best team right now. It's a lot about who's playing well at the right time when you're doing the top four. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to put the Patriots up there. So I'm not sure that they are the best team, but you look at their run recently, it's been really impressive. And obviously the Cardinals, as they do in the CFP, they don't care whether you have injuries or not.
Right.
So they're still managing to win and be competitive despite the fact that they're missing their quarterback. So I like that group.
Well, let me get Kmart in here, and I think we have Booger as well. So he just made his picks.
Packers,
Patriots, Cardinals, Buccaneers. You live to disagree with him.
I do.
What issue do you take with his choice?
I do it based off of best team.
Okay.
So to me, the Packers are the best team, Bucks. I actually have the Ravens. I don't have the Patriots.
The Ravens.
I have the Ravens in there. They have the best record in the AFC. I think they're a better team than the Patriots.
You left out your own team, the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, I mean, because I'm an honest individual. Like, I went to that game. I've watched all of their games that they win by one score. Like, that team has been playing well, but that team is not great.
You even said it earlier. All the good teams have had bad losses, right? Do you trust John Harbaugh? Do you trust Lamar? Do you trust Justin Tucker?
All the teams have had bad losses, but the Ravens have had bad wins. So, like, the Ravens have had a successful season, but I don't think that the Ravens are a championship contender this year.
The alternative argument to that is most teams lose their bad games.
Right.
The Ravens win their bad games. They just do it ugly. Booger, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I love the fact that Kmart can just shut Dominique up because we've been trying to do that for years and nobody's been able to do that, but Kmart can do it. I just love that. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. Nick, I actually agree with your list. I think if we're doing this college football style, that you have to go off it week to week. And right now, the Packers are playing the best. That defense, Aaron Rodgers, that whole deal. I like Nick's list, and usually Nick and I don't disagree, but back to my original point, Kmart, job well done, because even Greeny can't shut Dominique up, and you've done that. Job well done.
All right, absolutely. Much more NFL coverage as our morning continues. But guess what? The number one team in the country was on the floor last night in the 23rd annual Big Ten ACC Challenge last night. Duke taking on Ohio State, and that meant for Duke, we would see their young star, Paolo Banchero, special in every way, showing you the handles, showing you the mid-range jumper, over the defender. Blue Devils up 13 at the half. To the second half, though, we go. Under 5 to play. Buckeyes hanging in there. They're down by 8. That's Zed Key inside for the bucket. He had a career-high 20. Under 3 to go. Ohio State down by 5. Cedric Russell, 4-3 over Banchero. It's good. Buckeyes down just 2. Now Ohio State down by 1. A minute to play. Wendell Moore Jr. playing defense. E.J. Liddell. It's a foul. Liddell would make both. Ohio State by 1. Under 20 seconds to go. Liddell, again. Is a tough shot, but he gets it to fall. Buckeyes lead by 3. Duke on the other end. Last chance. Banchero, the freshman. It's no good. The celebration is on in Columbus. Fans on the floor. Ohio State takes down number 1, 71-66. And the Big Ten ACC Challenge rolls on tonight. Louisville will take on Michigan State, 7:15 Eastern. Then Michigan goes to Chapel Hill to take on North Carolina. That will be a special night as the V Foundation and the Carolina team will honor North Carolina graduate and our friend, the late, great Stuart Scott.
Thanks for letting SportsCenter flow. Alongside Rich Eisen, I'm Stuart Scott. Top 5. Booyah! Stress, fearless, head held high.
Big dreams, big balls, doing big. Call this kid butter because he is on the roll.
You got to see it to believe it.
Them kids was off the easy. Swoops, there it is.
As cool as the other side of the pillow.
You know, the V Foundation established the Stuart Scott Memorial Fund 7 years ago, helping carry on Stuart's passionate support for cancer research. And since then, the fund has rewarded nearly $15 million to support minority scientists and to better understand the cancer disparities experienced by patients from minority, ethnic, or racial populations. ESPN and the V Foundation proud to support this fund in Stuart's honor. You can support it as well by visiting v.org/Stuart. And as we raise money in his name today, every year at this time, I like to tell the same story and tell you why I think of Stuart Scott every single day. We could put the picture up there if we can, please, because hanging in my house is that picture. It was taken in January 2001, the week of the Super Bowl. My wife was on maternity leave. She came down to Tampa with me, and while we were standing in the lobby of a hotel, I heard Stewart's unmistakable voice. He yelled, "I got to get some of that." The steward's daughters, Taylor and Sydney, are a little older than mine, and he missed them. And so he just mushed my daughter, Nikki, for 5 minutes, the way only a father who misses his babies can. And thank goodness someone took a picture of it. So we had it framed the day he died, and it'll be on the wall of our house forever. And so I will just say this. If you had known Stuart Scott, you would be even more proud to donate to such an important cause in his name today. So on behalf of all of us, and especially his little girls, we thank you.